This is a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Open for Business is powered by BossBolay.com, Malaysia's first online company secretary.
BFM 89.9, good morning and welcome to Open for Business, the show that dives into the journeys and ventures of entrepreneurs and business leaders. This morning on the show, Lim Chiao Wei, Managing Director of Malacca Securities and third generation of the Lim family that founded Malacca Securities, but also Scientex Berhad. Brokerage firm Malacca Securities was founded just over 60 years ago, and Chiao Wei got involved with the family business back in 2013 after coming back from the UK for what was supposed to be a short visit due to tightening of work visas back in the UK. In the UK, following her education at Imperial College, Chiao Wei was working at a luxury brand retail group as its merchandising agent and had a five-year plan in mind and wanted to climb the corporate ladder and didn't have plans to join the family business. However, as we now know, the story has played out differently. Today on Open for Business, you will learn why Chiao Wei stuck around here in Malaysia to join the family business, what she brings to Malacca Securities, including her progressive attitude to digitalization and technology, and where she intends to lead this brokerage business in an era defined by a fight to the bottom for brokerage fees and large international platforms such as Moomoo making their way into the Malaysian market. Chiao Wei, welcome to the studio. How are you doing?
Hi, Roshan. Thank you so much for having me today.
So, as I mentioned in the introduction there, you eventually changed your mind about going back to the UK and having that climbing the corporate ladder over there and got involved with the family business here, specifically Malacca Securities. Talk to us about the change of heart there, Chiao Wei.
Yep. So, you know, like what you mentioned, Roshan, I was actually having a break. It was supposed to just be a 3 months break. And, you know, for someone like me, I just felt like I can't just sit down, not do anything. So my dad was saying, oh, you know what, just come in and help. Just try out, right? Since you have 3 months, might as well just do something useful.
He started laying the trap already.
Yes, definitely. So then, you know, the help. So when I first started, you know, I was very much in the operations department, just helping out with what are the things that we can optimize, what are the processes that we can look at and everything. Because that time, Malacca Securities has actually embarked on their online journey with launching of the platform, our trading platform, M+ Online. So I was just very much doing, looking at what are the things that we can work help on. Because when I remember the first day when I just stepped into the office, like, oh my goodness, there's so many papers around. I do not understand why do we need so many papers. Because it's so different from my previous work environment, right? So then my dad was like, oh, okay, just help, right? So it's help. And then you started seeing results because, you know, you started pushing, like, oh, you know, these are the things that you can work on. And I actually go down to the ground to really help with, you know, entire of opening accounts, how do we cut short the account timing and everything. And inside me, you know, when the time comes, you know, when it was 3 months later, I was thinking, okay, it's time to go back or should I stay? Because I had an option, right? And, you know, one side of it is like, you know, you have all the family here, you have all the convenience, you have all the comfort of, doesn't have to think about what to cook at night, right? You know, that kind of things, you know? But on the other hand as well, like when one of my thought process when I was deciding this was very much of what do I really want in life, right? And when you think about it, I'm a kind of person that really loves challenges. And I know that I always wanted to build something, right? Entrepreneur or not, it's a different thing, but I wanted to create something that I can be very proud of. And Malacca Securities is just a platform for me that I see it as an opportunity for me to reach that goal a lot more faster than building from scratch or even climbing corporate ladders, right? So here you have the comfort and, you know, if I can achieve something with here, why not? You know, and that's how the entire 3 months become a 10-year thing now and still ongoing.
Yeah, yep. And we'll get into some of your goals and ambitions and the things you've done along the last 10 years. But now I just want a little bit of a... Actually, let's talk about that 10 years, right? So because Malacca Securities started back in 1963 as a small broking firm called Malacca Traders, with the name and corporate structure changing only 30 years later in 1992. And then 20 years later, the company ventured into that digital journey you're talking about with the online platform. And that was the time, just around the time you joined. So in the last 10 years that you've been there, talk to us about some of the key developments at Malacca Securities since you joined.
Yep. So my focus very much was, because like I mentioned earlier on, right, I just can't stand in an office of tons of papers, if, you know. So my focus was very much on digitalization. So I embarked on what are the things that we can do to help with the entire digitalization, because we have a platform, we have an online platform, so that is the front, right? But at the back, right, everything is so manual. You still involve a lot of paper, you still involve a lot of people, that steps that is can be cut short, right? So I started on with a very small project, which is CDS cards. How do we digitalize that CDS cards? Mm. No, so because last time, you know, like medical cards, right? Like, you know, those when you go in hospitals, you know, sometimes they still ask you to fill forms and all this kind of thing. So CDS started with that as well. So when I first started, I just don't understand, like, oh my God, why do we still have all these CDS cards? What's the use of it? So we started with that. How do we put it, put this CDS cards on our system? Because we have a back office system, right? And my focus was very much on digitalizing all the back end processes. So that's where I started as well, operations. So that is where all the behind the scenes of trading happens, right? Where everyone said, you know, you have a very great platform. I still remember everyone was saying like, oh, you know, M Plus Online, you guys have a very good platform and everything. But behind the back, I was like, oh, there's so many things behind that you don't know. That is so manual. And, you know, and sometimes we have to work throughout the night just to get things up, right? So because we need to just deploy a lot more human capital for it. So that's where I started up the entire digitalization journey. So one of it is cutting the entire account opening time from, say, you know, maybe 3 or 4 days up till like now it's immediate, really immediate, right?
And while all this on the surface sounds, oh yeah, I mean, okay lah, you did that. But on the back end, there's a lot of changes in systems.
Especially, like I said, we are 60 years old, right? There's a lot of legacy.
You know,
there are still clients that are with us, like, you know, for 30, 40 years.
Wow.
How do we migrate these kind of clients, right? Like to online platform and everything. How do we migrate their data into our systems? All these things as well. So including depositing and withdrawal money. So last time it may take like 3 days to clear all your deposit or withdrawal requests, but now it's instant. And also we work with different parties to actually get this solution up as well. So one of the ones that really try out different digital tools really in the office. So I've tried many, many types of tools. You know, the free ones, the paid ones. And finally, you know, we are still continuously, you know, looking at improvements at what we can do to help clients to even shorten the period of, you know, trading, even depositing money, withdrawing. Because I think people want to feel safe. Like, you know, if I want to put money in here, I want to know I would be able to withdraw straight away as well.
Mm.
You know, so these are the, you know, behind the scene things that's happening. So that's where my focus was on. You know, and also it goes into credit scoring, credit control, and all the way to like now all the tools that we use, like in the communication tools that we use, like email and all these things. We actually started with cloud solutions as well, way before COVID, right? That's where, and because of all these things that we have done, it really helps us in laying the foundation. You know, when COVID started, how do we adapt quickly to, you know, online account opening fully, right? All this kind of things that we have done over there, yeah.
That's right. I just want to ask you about your journey over since joining in 2013 to taking the MD post in 2021, but we'll go into a few messages first.
Mm-hmm.
Folks, I've been speaking with Lim Chia Wei. She's the Managing Director of Malacca Securities and third generation leader of the family-owned stock broker. I'm Roshan Kanesan. You're listening to Open for Business. We'll be back in just a bit, so keep it here to BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
Open for Business will reopen in a few moments. Powered by BossBully.com, Malaysia's first online company secretary. Brewing frothy mocha. BFM 89.9. The Business Station. Open for Business is powered by BossBully.com, Malaysia's first online company secretary.
BFM 89.9. Welcome back to Open for Business. I'm Roshan Kanesan, and this morning I'm speaking with Lim Chia Wei, Managing Director of Malacca Securities, a third generation leader of the family-owned stock broker. Chia Wei, we were talking a little bit earlier about The plan was not to be in the family business. You had a life in the UK following your studies at Imperial College, but you ended up back here, and we talked about some of those reasons earlier, and some of the key developments over the last 10 years in your being at Malacca Securities, right? And a lot of the digitalization initiatives, particularly on the back end.
Yeah.
Now, talk to us a little bit about your journey, because you weren't parachuted in as MD from the very start. You had you built your career there, starting in 2013 and ultimately took up the MD post in 2021.
Yep.
Talk to us about that journey.
So I started actually end 2013 as an operation executive. So that's where I sort of get an idea of, you know, the entire account opening, you know, which is which happens pre-trading, and then anything that happens post-trading, which is, you know, deposit, withdrawals, settlement with, you know, different brokers, settlement with Brosa, and also credit scoring, credit assessment, control, risk management.
Wow, so like really getting compliance. A sense for all the different parts of the business.
Yes, 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 and IT. So I really start. So I was in the operations very much into it for like four years, you know, before I really started surfacing in the front, right, to do more on like marketing things. So that's where I started digital marketing with a team on, you know, started doing a lot more on social media as well. And also getting to know more about, you know, listed companies and stock market, right? And only the recent years in year 2020, we started venturing into corporate finance, right? That's also one of the, I would say, the key drivers and also the key sort of diversification of Malacca Securities from just a purely stockbroking company to a more fuller suite products of company.
Yeah, so in 2017, I see that discretionary trading services was introduced.
Yes.
2020 was when corporate finance division came into play to make you a more, I guess, a more full service firm. And in 2022, you ventured into financial planning with the establishment of Moolah Advisory, or that acquisition of a firm that was formerly with Ringgit Plus. And we'll talk a little bit about those things later. Mm-hmm. Now, today, I want to talk a little bit about your role, right? So if I look at the board or the leadership team, there are four people there. You're the managing director, but your father is the executive chairman, and there are two other executive directors. Yep. Give us a better sense of your role and mandate as managing director.
Yep. So as managing director, actually, the main role that I play is actually overseeing the entire strategic direction of the company. And also, of course, the performance of the company as well, right? So, and I'm also one of the key decision maker in terms of, you know, expansion plans or strategic partnerships, and also sort of big projects that we'll be taking on, just like our recent M Plus Global launch, right? So these are the main big things that's happening in the company. So I'm the one that is sort of driving it, making sure that everyone's going on the same direction, as, you know, aligning the entire company with our mission, vision, and also values.
And now, I guess the natural question that comes from this, because given that your father is executive chairman still, how much autonomy and discretion, I guess, in the end, do you have as the MD to drive these changes and this growth that you want to bring over to Malacca Securities?
So I count myself really lucky and blessed because I actually have the entire support of the family behind me in terms of, you know, the changes I would like to do. Although my dad is the executive chairman, but he plays a role of more like an advisor and, you know, give me some pointers, you know, on the certain projects that we would like to embark on. He would give his opinions. He would give his sort of like, you know, what are the things that we should look out at from a risk point of view? What are the business risks that could happen and how should we? And then he would throw it back to me and say, okay, so these are the risks. How should you mitigate it? You know, so I actually get a lot of support, you know, from my dad. And I'm grateful for also the mentorships I got, you know, from my other family members as well. Right. And So, I count myself really lucky in it. But also, because of all this support you're given and all the changes that I would like to bring about, gives me a lot of pressure to really deliver results. Mm. Yeah. So that is...
Yeah, let's talk about that pressure, right? Because you're a third generation leader at this company now.
Yep.
I know your father was there for a long time and took it to different heights. Your grandfather obviously built the business. Mm-hmm. Each generation that comes in, I'm sure, has its own pressures to deal with. And now you are in the hot seat. Talk to us about how you're navigating that pressure to, you know, go beyond business as usual, to take the business to the next stage, and how you're navigating that.
So I think pressure, I would say if I were to categorize the pressures, it would be very two main pressures. Number one is pressure from everyone around you that wants to see how you're going to deliver, right? You know, there is a lot of, there are the supporters, but there are a lot of doubters as well, especially these are changes that is not commonly seen in other industries or even in, with our competitors, right? And the other pressure is very much internal for myself, where I just want to be able to at least maintain or for me, I want to outperform, right? Outperform my previous generation, outperform my dad as well, you know. So that is also another pressure that comes with it. So, but luckily for me is that because I wasn't parachuted in, so I actually know the ins and outs of, you know, the industry. I'm still learning as well. So a lot of the colleagues, they understand where I'm coming from. They give me a lot of like advice, support, and for me, it's just I would be able to just focus on the goal, focus on the strategies that we have set, and to go about it. But of course, there'll always be the naysayers. There'll always going to be people that doubt you. I just cut away these noises. You know, just have to focus, basically. And this is where I would be able to get like advices from my mentors as well on this, because my dad himself is a second generation. My uncle himself is also a second generation. So when they tell me it's focus and really deliver results, because I think results will speak louder than anything, you know, and no matter how much more result that you're going to deliver, you know, sometimes there'll always be people that just don't believe you. So we just have to put a lot more effort, a lot more, like, you know, if a normal person has to put 100%, you have to put 200, 300% to really prove that you actually are capable of doing it.
Because there's going to be, I guess, those narratives of nepotism and all of that you have to manage. And when you mentioned your uncle, you're talking about the CEO of Scientech. So just so you do have some really experienced people that you can reach out to develop yourself as you develop as an executive, as a leader.
Yep.
How important, Chabri, were the 8 years of coming through the ranks in terms of your ability to do the job today?
It is actually very, very important where people really see what you do from small projects. You know, just like what I mentioned, the CDS project, that was a small one. And I still remember no one believed in it and everyone's like busy in their own thing. And it's like, you know, my CEO at that time as well is like, because we were very much on trying to push the platform, right? So to them, it's like, why are you doing all these kind of things? And that time, because I was just helping out, right? So I had the time to like, okay, I just do whatever I want, which is one of these things that a small project. And so I have to do the entire of scanning each and every single CDS cards onto the system and tagging them onto a system as well. So I was the one that had to do. And then no one was helping me because, you know, everyone's busy, right? And I don't blame them. And then people are like, I don't think this is going to work, you know. So I have all these kind of things. So but because you do one small project and it works for them, it helps them in terms of, you know, making their life easier. Then when you do the second one, you have maybe one more person that, I'm willing to help you.
A little bit more buy-in and trust.
Yeah. So then from there, you know, I started with all these small projects, right? And then so when you want to do, like you mentioned, discretionary trading, when you want to actually go on to sort of skew our marketing to be a lot more, or skew our sort of strategy to be more Islamic focused, you have a lot more support around then. You know, especially, you know, we have all those people that just, you know, a lot of people would be thinking like, are you sure you want to do Islamic market? You know, that kind of stuff, right? So, but then because of all these small things that that I've sort of developed and proved that, you know, all these things do help, you know, and it's so much more easier to get them on board. Of course, I still face problems now and then, but it's much lesser now. So and my nickname in the company is always like, change, you know, she's always about change. I talk about change every single month during our monthly booster meetings. And that's like the word that is my word, you know, and my Chawi's word, that's change. and they're so used to it now.
So, you know, having the surname and having your father and your grandfather building the business, you coming in, not being parachuted was probably a great bonus in the sense that coming through the ranks helped to offset some of that potential silver spoon, Nepo baby kind of narratives.
Yes.
But I'm sure it's still something that you had to contend with as you came through, as you built up. Is that still a concern that you manage today, or have you gotten enough buy-in internally within the company to get things done?
I think I've gotten enough buy-ins, but you know, you still have to deal with all this criticisms, doubts, because we constantly, you know, as the company grows, as the business grows as well, you have people that is a lot more experienced from the other companies that join us. They will always have this doubt, like, you know, is she really, you know, is she doing it because it's the boss's daughter, or she really has the capability of doing it? So, and like I said, I'm always there to deliver results, and of course I have to make a lot of difficult decisions along the way. And some of the decisions are, I would say wrong, but it's not didn't prove to be right, but, you know, we just have to see how we can adapt to it.
Right. Some of them may not have played out the way you wanted them to.
Yep.
But I guess we learn from our mistakes and you develop from that, right? Because leaders aren't infallible.
Yeah.
And it's, I guess, a bit unrealistic to assume that.
But it is a lot more pressured, you know, when you are a third generation in a business, you're in a family business. I know everyone says, you know, it's okay to fail, but in the back of my mind, you know that you cannot fail.
The pressure, because
it's a business that, you know, your grandparents, your dad has led it to a certain height, and you just don't want it to fail at your stage.
There's like a magnifying glass on all of it.
Yeah. So,
yeah. Javi, we've got to go into the news bulletin. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about the existential threat that's coming in from 0% commissions and the fight to the bottom amongst a lot of international brokers, as well as where revenue is today and some of your longer term goals, including partnerships and acquisitions. Folks, I've been speaking with Lim Chia-Wei, Managing Director of Malacca Securities, a third generation leader of the family owned stock broker. I'm Roshan Kanderson. We'll be back after the news bulletin, so keep it here to Open for Business on BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
Open for Business will reopen in a few moments. Powered by BossBully.com, Malaysia's first online company secretary.
Broking financial mergers. BFM 89.9.
Open for Business is powered by BossBully.com, Malaysia's first online company secretary.
BFM 89.9, welcome back to Open for Business. I'm Roshan Kanderson, and this morning I've been speaking with Lim Chia-Wei, Managing Director of Malacca Securities, the third generation leader of the family-owned stock broker. Chia-Wei, you've taken us through the journey and some of the pressures that come with being a third generation leader, some of the criticisms you've had to deal with. Coming through the ranks helped a lot over the last 8 years before you took up the MD post, but still getting buy-in and belief from people internally to get the things done that you want to see this company grow into was a big part of your journey. And I want to talk about the way forward as well. But the big thing for any stockbroker or any brokerage firm today is the 0% commission price war that's happening among US and some international stockbrokers that might pose a significant challenge, especially for non-banked backed brokers such as Malacca Securities. The argument being that you don't have as much of a diversified business model and might not have the resources to revamp the business. So how, Chia-Wei, is Malacca Securities tackling this potentially existential problem?
Yep. So I think for one, what you mentioned just now, you know, we can see that it's happening globally where everyone's going to 0% brokerage, right? But if you look into the finer details, there's a lot more charges that these people charge, you know, their platform fees, their margin interest. There are a lot of ways to charge, right, to actually make sort of money, for business model in this. So, but what we notice is that everyone goes on a digital platform. So that's where we started our journey very early on that 10 years back. And now that with our M+ Global, we are actually taking it to a greater heights with being able to offer, number one, real-time data into US and Hong Kong market in addition to just besides just Malaysia market. So that's how we diversify our product offerings. And secondly, on top of diversification, we have actually expanded into corporate finance. We have also expanded into discretionary trading and also recently financial planning. So these are all the, I would say, business pillars that we have built over the last few years to actually diversify just a brokerage fee only platform or company. And we actually do see our margins. Brokerage fees, I mean, brokerage income definitely has sort of come down. But the thing is, the margin is actually still quite healthy. Yeah.
Talk to us a little bit about where Malacca Securities is in terms of revenue today. And more importantly, that revenue diversification from the other businesses.
Yep. So we are, you know, just we just closed our books actually last January, so end Jan. Our revenue is around more than 100 million at the moment. And our profit before tax is, you know, 25% margin-ish. And it's not just contributed from the brokerage, right? It's maybe 40% brokerage, 60% others, which is the other business pillars, which is like corporate finance, prop trading, and other incomes as well.
Between corporate finance and the trading, within the 60%, is corporate finance the biggest revenue?
One of the bigger chunks. Yeah.
And has revenue been growing over the last few years? Because I would assume that 2021 must have been a huge year for stockbrokers.
Yeah.
But we've seen it kind of taper off since then.
Yeah. So his year 2020 and year 2021 was a, you know, I think everyone loved that year because, you know, you would see that, I mean, for stockbrokers, right, where our revenue was maybe three times.
Wow.
Right. And it even grew in year 2021. By year 2022, we did see like brokerage income actually drop by half, but it's still more than our pre-COVID years. So because of, you know, during these 2 years, we have actually accumulated, I would say, more than, you know, 400% of our previous market share, so that, you know, even when it drops, it doesn't actually drop that much, you know, and it's still more than pre-COVID. So, so I think that's where, and then we do see that there's increase in our corporate finance division, where we have actually, so we actually started corporate finance in year 2020 during COVID years. And we have also starting to actually establish ourselves as a key player in this field, this corporate finance field, where we actually did two IPOs last year. One in the main market and one in the ACE market. So we are seeing a lot of all this listed companies, or, you know, companies that would like to go listing, come to us for advisory works and everything.
So you're moving away from just B2C essentially to some B2B work as well.
Yeah.
But they're both still very, I guess, activity-driven businesses, right?
Yes.
So like even in corporate finance, deals come when also market is kind of hot as well. Same with the retail side of stockbroking. Yeah. Are you looking at some other businesses that may be more stable, more recurring? And what may those businesses be?
At the moment, so markets ups and downs is actually good for us, right? What we don't want is just market being very stagnant. So with the current environment, you know, market is actually very active. So how we actually diversify, it's actually adding on more product offerings, because if Malaysian market is, say, for example, stagnant, then you still have US market that is predicted to be very, very active this whole year because of, you know, the US elections coming up.
Not to mention the AI hype and all
ripple
effects from
all
of that.
So, and this will not like taper off within a year, right? It could be like, you know, a 3-5 year thing before the next hype. What we want to focus on is to find the next hype and make sure that you have the market for it. So that's where also you want to be able to diversify, to help our clients to diversify their portfolio into the global markets, not just Malaysia.
So, Chawe, actually following up on as the way forward, one of the EDs of Malacca Securities, Fok Chuan Meng, told The Edge back in 2020 that the industry has to evolve and digitalization was going to be a key part of that. And that's been a key narrative that you've been talking about as well. But not too much so as to lose the personal touch. So talk to us about how Malacca Securities is managing the challenge of digitalization and pushing the technology forward while not losing that personal touch in your business.
Yep. So, you know, along the way of, you know, going through the 8 years and, you know, building the company throughout the last 10 years, one of the things, of course, my focus was a lot about technology. And to be very, very frank, I was a very tech, pro-tech. Mm-hmm. You know, I was like, you know, if I can replace it with human, I'll replace it with human. But the thing is, you know, along the way, I realized something. After all, we are in an industry where we deal with money, we deal with people, we deal with investment. And when you talk about investment and money, tech can only do so much, right? And if you want people to be able to invest more, to put more money with you, you need the people to actually do that. You know, and because it's all about trustworthiness. Do I trust you? Do I see a face? Can I relate when I, you know, go on a platform? That's where we found our very unique positioning of what we call ourselves a hybrid broker.
Oh.
Yeah. So it's basically seamlessly integrating the power of technology and also the expertise of human. So our human here means not just people that is in operations or, you know, that is the one running company, but also our partners, like our dealer representative, our remisiers, right? So they bring with them all their experiences in the market, you know, to be able to advise clients in a much more personal level, right? And that is what we notice. Clients really, really appreciate that. And that is where we will be able to create more values for clients. And, you know, what you mentioned about, you know, going down into, you know, squeezing the margin of a brokerage, that's where we notice that, you know, a lot of clients, once they have built a relationship with you and everything, to them, you know, the 0.1%, 0.05%, does it really matter to them? You know, sometimes they feel like, you know, it's okay. You know, they understand. You know, and that's also where we realize this is where we are looking at, even with our sort of future sort of expansion, we want to look for businesses that are similar like this, where we can actually blend tech and also human.
So on that note, actually, let's talk a little bit about one of the acquisitions you made over the last few years. And I know this, of course, because I used to be at that company. So Malacca Securities acquired my former employer, Genexo Advisory, now known as Mula Financial Planning. Mm-hmm. And, you know, talk to us about the value that Malacca Securities sees this financial planning business bringing to the overall firm, which has largely been known as a brokerage. And yes, there's corporate finance parts as well. So what does it bring to the table?
Yeah, so I remember having this conversation, you know, when people say, why are you going into financial planning? Because, you know, it's an industry that's quite dull, you know, and it has a certain stereotype, right? And when we look back at where do we go from here, besides just increasing our product offering, which is increasing the market that we go into from a stock market perspective, we notice that a lot of clients, because of the relationships that, you know, the remisers built with them, they start to ask them for advice. It's like, you know, do you think I should go into this kind of insurance, you know, or insurance policies, and going into what kind of other investment I can go into? So when we look into this and we get all this feedback, is it actually, to be able to do this, why not we look at expanding vertically? You know, either you go, like, you know, just like how people say upstream, downstream. So if you take stock market or like stock investment as a downstream, maybe go upstream a bit. If you go back to what do client wants first? And that's where planning comes in. And that's where we realize that actually we can actually work on that part. So, you know, once a client know that, okay, what I want to achieve with my financial goals, okay, so how much percentage of it can go into stocks? How much percentage of it go into other things, other funds? And that is where we are also seeing we will be able to collaborate with a lot of different partners faster, and using that as a platform to be able to offer a lot more products to our clients straight away without having to build from scratch. Yeah.
So it's in a way a funnel, a little bit of a acquisition that will help you do a lot more other things outside of just equities in the longer term.
And also, you know, we see this as you'll be able to provide a lifetime value to the client because, you know, a planning is not just like, you know, I give you a plan and that's it. You know, it changes, right? And, you know, like, for example, when you first start a job and, you know, your goals when you first start a job and when you start a family, you know, mm-hmm. when you go retire, everything is different, right? And that is where we see that, you know, at each stage of life, we'll be able to be part of you.
Chair, we've got to go into a few more messages. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about the appetite for continued partnerships and acquisitions. Yep. Folks, I've been speaking with Lim Chia Wei, Managing Director of Malacca Securities and third generation leader of the family-owned stockbroker. I'm Roshan Kernison. You're listening to Open for Business. We'll be back in just a bit. So keep it here to BFM 89.9, the business station.
Open for Business will reopen in a few moments. Powered by BossBully.com, Malaysia's first online company secretary.
Budding fresh ministers. BFM 89.9, the business station.
Open for Business is powered by BossBully.com, Malaysia's first online company secretary.
BFM 89.9, welcome back to Open for Business. I'm Roshan Kernison, and this morning I've been speaking with Lim Chia Wei, Managing Director of Malacca Securities and third generation leader of the family-owned stockbroker. Chia Wei, Malacca Securities is no longer just a stockbroker, mm-hmm. actually, even though I just mentioned that. You know, corporate finance is a big part of the business as well. Stockbroking just 40% now. Yeah. And you've got other businesses coming through, including a financial planning business, which you bought just a few years ago. Talk to us about the appetite at Malacca Securities for more acquisitions and more partnerships in order to continue to grow.
Yep. So we, you know, I mean, at Malacca Securities nowadays, you know, with all the things that we have done, you know, we are always on the lookout for what is next. Mm. You know, and that is also my role as a managing director, right? Because that's what my staff is the one that sometimes will ask me, what are we going to do next? You know, because they said, oh, you know, I think we are a bit bored with, you know, just doing the same thing here and then. So they motivate me as well. They make sure that, you know, I don't just stay doing the same thing. Mm-hmm. And also, you know, just to improve all the time. So we are always look out for, well, I mean, earlier on, our focus was very much expansion, where we started expansion into corporate finance, you know, different services, but it's still under the stockbroking license, right? But now we are also looking at, you know, other kind of license, but still in the capital market space. We are looking at something that's more synergistic with us that can complement our business and also would benefit our clients in the end. Because I think nowadays the entire business environment is a lot about collaboration. It's no more just about, oh, you go and build yourself and do it from scratch. It's about collaborating, partnering with people that are already very expert in their own field, right? So we are on the lookout all the time, you know, not just locally and also out of Malaysia as well.
So there is this ambition to continue to be in the capital market space,
yes.
but improve, go more horizontal in
yes.
that sense and become a fuller firm in a lot of
yep.
ways. So corporate finance was part of that move.
Yep.
The financial planning also is there. I presume you're not going to be able to tell me what kind of licenses, other licenses you're looking to get in the longer term.
Nah, not in the moment.
We'll save it for a different time,
yeah.
Yeah, so with that in mind, then, what else are you looking to drive growth going forward? I mean, we've talked about a few things so far.
Yep.
Is there anything that we haven't covered before we get to the end of the conversation?
I think for the next few years, or at least for the next 5 years, we want to actually really instill the entire idea of hybrid broker, because
mm-hmm.
this was something that it's something that we have been doing, but we didn't do it in a very corporate manner, meaning like it's not like there's no SOP for it, you know, it's up to you and everything, but we are trying to really make it more
seamless.
How do we seamless and also really instill it through as part of our value, is
okay.
you know, as part of the company's culture, you know. And this is because this is still, I mean, although we do have a lot of staff, you know, that we are still very much like run like a family, it's still a family business, right? So we still run a very much a family, but we want to be able to really instill this entire idea of hybrid broker into, you know, not the staff, but also to our clients as well. And that's where we're going to sort of position ourselves as that kind of broker that, you know, when you want good tech and also people, you come to us. You know, that's where our focus would be there. And because that's where we feel that the value that we will be able to create is a lot more bigger. And that's where, you know, all the chunks of financial planning, all the chunks of corporate finance, different division will come in together and to make it really a truly hybrid broker. Yeah.
So that is the hybrid broker in improving the human element of the hybrid broker is a key part of that, but also bringing other businesses or other types of businesses into the fore as well. You know, when you go out and bring in new businesses or even like in an acquisition like you did with Moolah, there's always going to be, you know, you yourself faced that where you were coming through a very legacy business. So a bit more friction here and there. Yeah. How did you navigate the post-acquisition integration process with Moolah, I mean, into this stockbroker?
Yeah. So I think for Moolah, it wasn't as hard because the team is small. And, you know, and they were very agile, right? That entire team is digital, very tech-driven. So when they move in, it's more like, they said, where's my space? We don't have enough space. That is true, right? I mean, we literally don't have enough space in our office. And that is where my issue is when everyone says that, you know what, I need more space, office space. And I was like, what? Aren't you guys supposed to like work hybrid, like, you know, work from home? Don't you guys prefer that? You know, but it seems like everyone loves to come back to office to work. So I'm always tracking head on office space, but also, but you know, to answer your question, it's actually on the cultural alignment, right? So it's where, how do we actually blend the entire culture of like a startup company, but yet you still have, you know, a lot of compliance that you have to work with, but like I said, but for us, because the companies that I mean, like, you know, just like Moolah, the company that we acquire, like Moolah, it's just very much startup. You know, the entire culture, it just blends in very well for us. I would say if in my next say acquisition would be very much looking at also the culture alignment, because you need to be able to work with everyone, right? So I think that is where we're putting a lot of effort. That's why we actually also put one of our growth target for the next 5 years is actually employees' well-being, right? Because we want to actually put this as a key indicator of, you know, not just how happy are you working with us, but also, you know, does your income grow with us as well? You know, because we are, after all, we are an investment company, right? So you have to be able to sort of, you know, grow with us. Yeah. That's why we always in a company, I always say double growth. So everyone knows double growth is one is company growth, which is performance, which is profit, have to grow and everything. But another growth is actually the employees' well-being. Yeah.
And to wrap up this conversation, talk to us about your long-term vision. Oh, I know it's a little bit of a corny word, right? So maybe let's talk about your long-term aspirations, where you want to take Malacca Securities in the next 10 years. Yeah.
Definitely not just Malaysia. So we look ourselves as we want to be a world-class financial services firm, but focusing very much on the capital market investment side of things in the Southeast Asia landscape. Right, that is where I told my team, and then they were like, okay, so we're going to go outside Asia. I said, until you guys have done all these things, X, Y, Z, we will not be going until we can prove ourselves that we are worthy of going out from Malaysia.
Yeah. Chia Wei, it's been a pleasure speaking with you. I wish you all the best ahead, and thank you so much for your time.
Thank you so much. Thanks, Roshan.
Folks, I've been speaking with Lim Chia Wei. She's the Managing Director of Malacca Securities and a third-generation leader of the firm and also a third-generation of the Lim family that founded Malacca Securities as well as Scientex Berhad. You have been listening to Open for Business, the show that dives into the journeys and ventures of entrepreneurs and business leaders. And if you missed any part of this conversation, you can catch the podcast on the BFM app or any of your favorite podcasting apps, whether it's Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or anything else. Just look for Open for Business. I'm Roshan Kennison. You've been listening to Open for Business. Keep it here to BFM 89.9, the business station.
Are you open for business? Register your company with bossbelay.com, Malaysia's first online company secretary.
You have been listening to a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station. For more stories of the same kind, download the BFM app.